angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this in the sixth month, with her who was called barren. Let me just read that again, okay? Luke 1:36. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. That's our text this morning. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we praise you, Lord. Thank you for your will being done in this service, Father God. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you that you heal the brokenhearted, that you save those that are crushed in spirit. Thank you that not a single person is going to leave here the same way they came in, Lord, but you're doing amazing things in our life, and we're going to leave here energized and refreshed and encouraged and ready to be about your business. And in our hearts, we want to put you first. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, amazing name we pray, and everybody in the church said, amen. So here's the deal. Last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the angel Gabriel bringing this wonderful message to young Mary. Now, so Mary's getting this message. This angel Gabriel just appears to her. She's in the country. So we don't even really know what Mary's doing, minding her own business. But here this angel Gabriel appears and says, look, you got God's favor in your life, and God has handpicked you for this immense responsibility. God has handpicked you for this wonderful responsibility to be the mother of the Messiah. And so Mary starts by asking this question right here, and it's Luke 1 verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? So I got to make this point. I know I said this last time we were together, but I really want to make this point again. What Mary is simply asking a question, okay? This is a logistical question she's asking. She's not doubting, okay? And we can say, well, what's the big deal if she's doubting a little bit, okay? Well, here's the big deal. Sometimes, often, we miss God's blessing in our life because we're full of doubt. We think, well, God doesn't want to do it, or God doesn't care, or we might even think, well, God can't do it. Well, none of those things are true, okay? We serve a God that does the impossible. And so we need to grab a hold of God's promises, hold them close to our heart, and believe them. Remember what Scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. You say, well, what does that mean? That seems kind of weird. Well, what it means, this is how I go over it in my mind, okay? If my mind tells me anything that is different than what the Lord says, what Scripture says, if somebody in my life tells me something different than what Scripture says, then I better go with what Scripture says. I better go with what God says. Amen? Let God be true and every man a liar. Mary's asking a question. It's like this. It's like she's saying, okay, what's the plan? Now, I can prove to you through Scripture that this precious young lady is not doubting. If you go with me to Luke 1 and verse 45, it's right here on your monitor. So what happens? Mary gets this news from Gabriel that she's going to have the Christ child, that she's going to be the mother of the Messiah. And Scripture says she made haste or fast, man. She ran to be with her relative, Elizabeth. And when she came into the home of Elizabeth, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what Elizabeth said, Luke 1:45. And blessed is she, this is Elizabeth talking to Mary as she enters her presence, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And that's what I want us to grab a hold of. Listen to me, guys. Check this out. Blessed are you if we believe God's word. Blessed are you if we take God's promises and say, you know what? I'm believing God. I'm believing God over what my body's telling me. I'm believing God over what the newsman says. I'm believing God over what my bank statement says. I'm not saying be stupid. I'm not saying be in denial. I'm saying we serve a risen Savior who can do all things. And if he's made us a promise, okay, you can take that to the bank. Can I get a witness this morning? So what is she doing? She's simply asking a question. Okay, now let's continue. And the angel does this, Luke 1 and verse 35. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit. She says, how will this be because I'm a virgin? How's this going? What's the game plan here? She's assuming that God's going to have to do a miracle. She knows God is going to have to do something. In other words, she knows that God's going to do his part. Does that make sense this morning? Okay, what is our part? Our part is to be like little Mary, to trust in his word. To trust in his word, let God be true and every man a liar. Trust in his word and be obedient to his word, whether it's convenient or not. Amen. Are you at the place in your life where you're ready just to serve the Lord, no matter what it costs you? Are you ready to serve the Lord wholeheartedly, whether it's popular or not? Amen. So Mary says, how's this going to work? What's the deal? What's the plan here? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. So God is committed to doing his part. Does that make sense? And so God says, look, this is what I want. This is what I want my kids to do. This is what I want my children to do, is to trust in me, to trust in my promises. Even when it looks like it's not going to work out, trust in God's word. And in the meantime, in the interim, be obedient to what the scripture says. And I say that because sometimes we get antsy, we get tired of waiting, and we end up acting on our own and causing a big mess. We get tired of waiting on God, so we want to do it ourselves. Well, let's make sure that he that waits upon the Lord, he will renew your strength, right? That's a promise from God. Don't get weary in doing good. Keep serving God and trust in his word. Amen. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. And Christmas is a special time, ain't it? It's a special time, you know, but not everybody enjoys it. Not everybody's having a great weekend. Not everybody's having a great time. Some of us have lost loved ones. Some of us are just so stressed out, you know, stressed out thinking about how am I going to get this? How am I going to get that? Some people are just saying, man, I don't want to do another Christmas all alone. I've already seen everybody so happy. I lost a loved one. It's not that people hate seeing people happy. Well, sometimes you do, you know. Sometimes you do. And I don't mean that in a bad way. But, you know, when my father passed away at Christmas time, it was 13 years ago or something. It was a good while back. And right after that, it was at Christmas time. And like, it looked like everywhere I was going, you know, I'd see this old gentleman walking around with some kid or something. I'd be like, man, that stinks, dude. You know, but see, here's the deal. God does heal the brokenhearted. You say, Paul, that's easy for you to say. You're not going through what I'm going through. I'm not, but I know what God's promises say. I know that God's word is true. And I know sometimes, I do know this for a fact, that sometimes you have to take those fiery darts that Satan is throwing at your mind and just rebuke them and push them away. You know, and I do know for a fact that sometimes you got to do that 10 times a day, 10 times an hour, 10 times a minute sometimes. But you can't let that doubt, discouragement take root, you know, and just mess you up. Does that make sense this morning? Well, God bless each and every one of you. So this is what I'm trying to say. This is the heart of the message. I want us to take God at his word. When God says it, we can believe it. It doesn't matter how popular it is. None of those things matter. Let God be true. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. When the Lord says, let your past go, like in Isaiah 43:18, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Let's stand on God's word when he says, let your past go. Where you've fallen short. God says, let it go. Ask me to forgive you. not Paul, the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When somebody has hurt you, I'm not saying people ain't hurt you, but God doesn't want us to live in that mess. Okay? God doesn't want us to stagnate and just live there and say, when this happened, my life was pretty much over. Now I just got to kill time until quitting time because I'm all messed up in my head. But God says this right here. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. So I got to push out this negative stuff and fill it with God's promises. When you create that vacuum or that emptiness of rebuking that nastiness that Satan is throwing at you, man, you better grab a scripture. You better grab some time in prayer and you just better just focus on God. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. 19, verse 19, Isaiah 43, 19. Behold, I am doing a new thing. This is what God's saying. Don't be bound up by the hurts of your past. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Do you not believe God at his word? Oh, that is so. How could you say that, man? You don't know what, you don't know what. Listen, I'm just trying to say that God is true. God is true. And I love each and every one of you. And that's a promise. I love you guys, and I want you to have peace. Amen. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God says, don't be bound up by whatever happened, whatever you did. Release that. Give it to God. Ask for forgiveness. Release whoever hurt you, whatever, because I want to do something amazing in your life. You see, sometimes we miss that blessing. We were talking about doubt a minute ago. Sometimes we miss the blessing that God really wants to do in our life because we won't believe his word. The weight of what happened to me weighs too much or whatever. You know what I'm saying? No, man, switch that nonsense out with what God says. When God says, I got a good plan for you, take him at his word. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. That's like little Mary. Little Mary was saying, well, how's this going to happen? I'm a virgin. Asking a question. What's the plan? Okay, I know God's going to have to do this, but okay. And the angel automatically begins to tell her how God's going to do his part. But the angel doesn't tell her everything. God doesn't show her everything. God doesn't say, look here in a little while. King Herod's going to get really, really mad about this Messiah talk. He's going to come in and try and kill every little kid, and you're going to have to get up and haul booty and go into Egypt. The Lord's not going to say, hey, look, you're going to see your son's back ripped open to where you can see his organs throbbing and his bones exposed. The God's not going to say you're going to see him nailed to a cross. But look, he says, you're doing something big, and it's going to be worth it, Mary. In the end, it's going to be worth it. What do you mean it's going to be worth it? She saw her son brutally murdered when he was innocent. Well, because me and you are saved because of what he did on the cross. Because of that, what he did on the cross, not just him being born in a manger. Thank God for that. We got to have that. You know, thank God for that. But thank God he died on that cross and he rose from the dead because he paid for our sins and he destroyed death. He defeated death. Okay, so listen, when God says, look, beloved, trust in my word, and he says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. He's not letting you in on the whole picture. Good Lord, you know, we wouldn't even leave the house on April 13th if we knew we were going to get in a car wreck or something. You know what I mean? Can I get a witness? Everybody mark your calendar. I heard him with my own lips. He said, everybody just take that day off. No. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Now, this is so important, man, because this is God declaring something. The creator of heaven and earth, okay? This is God declaring. I can go up to one of you guys and say, hey, I can declare something. You know, okay, tomorrow meet me down here, and I'm going to give you 14 free pizzas and a brand new pair of boots. You know, I might forget. I might be lying. There's a lot of factors involved, man. But when God declares something, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So why waste time with doubt when Satan says, don't believe that. Don't believe that. Because he can't steal your salvation. He can't have that. But he wants to make you miserable. He wants to make you mess up. Can I get a witness? Lord knows I've fallen for it many a time. You know, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. God is saying, church people, be optimistic, be excited. I can't let you in on the whole picture. You wouldn't get it. You wouldn't understand it, why I've allowed these things to happen in your life, or why we're going to go down this way right here. But the end result is going to be worth it. So your job is to trust and obey and let me do the part that you can't do. Amen. When he says he heals the brokenhearted, you know, take God at his word. I'm not saying your heart's not broken, you know, but what does God say? He says, I'm close to the brokenhearted. I save those who are crushed in spirit. Emmanuel, God is with us. You know, I think that is one of the most precious things about being a Christian. Not just the fact that he died for my sins and he saved my soul. And you can't top that, you know, but the fact he doesn't just say, okay, I'll see you. I'll see you at quitting time. I'll meet you at the back door of the hospital when your heart stops. He says, I'll be with you every step of the way, man. Every step of the way. Emmanuel, God is with us. No matter what we face, no matter what we face as a Christian, he says, let me walk with you through this journey. Let me walk with you through life. So, you know, when he says in Psalm 147 in verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Is that true? Yeah, it's true. How does he do it? I don't know how he does it, but I know instead of just wallowing in my misery and my pain like I've been known to do, you know, run and grab a hold of God's promises, spend time with him and let him bring in that healing into my life. Instead of getting aggravated and saying, you know what, I did it your way, and now I'm going to go off and do it the old way. I'm going to go off and do what the world says, you know, because that's what I used to do. And yeah, but did it work out? No, it didn't work out. You know it didn't work out, but it was fun. Sin is fun for a season. You know it's fun for a season. Did you guys know that? Sin is like a hoot and a holler. You know, that's how we get bound up in it. You know, if it wasn't exciting, if it wasn't fun, if it wasn't just cray-cray awesome sometimes, you know what I'm saying? You wouldn't get bound up in it. You know, that's how Satan gets us. Anywho, believe God, take God at his word. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounds. When he says in his word, I will meet your needs, and my God will supply every need of yours. What about that? What a one, man. I tell you what, I tell my friends that verse often. I grab it for myself. And instead of just being stressed out to the max about something, like, Paul, you don't understand, man. I'm working my fingers to the bone. I'm doing everything I can. But at the end of the month, the money just ain't there. Okay. Well, analyze the situation. But check this out. This is what God says. Philippians 4:19. Let God be true and every man a liar. And my God will supply every need of yours. Look at your neighbor and say, every need? Every need. Okay? That's a big thing right there. Okay? And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches, because he's your heavenly Father, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Because of Christ Jesus, because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been adopted into the most precious family in the entire universe. You've been adopted into the family of God. And he says, because you're my responsibility, let me take care of you. What God is really trying to do is he's trying to give us peace. He's saying, I want you to have peace and not be stressed out all the time. I'm not saying there's not a time to mourn. Of course, there's a time to mourn. Scripture even tells us that. Don't feel bad about mourning, you know? But I'm saying, man, sometimes we can just get in a hole. We can just get in this place where we're just so miserable, you know, that we start looking around at everybody else. Well, that dude seems to have a nice car. I heard that guy's got a pool in his backyard. You know what, man? Okay. If you want that, man, work really, really hard and go get that. There's nothing wrong with hard work. Did you know that? Yeah. Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. Just throwing that out there. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Well, what about when God says he loves me? I don't feel like I'm loved, man. I don't feel like anybody cares about me. I hope that's not the truth. And if we listen to the devil, we can certainly get in that low situation where we can feel like nobody really cares about me. But that's not the truth. I promise you, that's not the truth, okay? Because there's a God that loves you so much. There's a God that loves you so much. And this needs to mean something to us, you know? You know why I go off and I do things I shouldn't do? Because I forget how much God loves me. I forget how much God loves me. And when I forget about how much he loves me and how good he is to me, and I begin to lose that reverence and respect for who he is and his word, when I say, you know what, I'm not worried about it. I'm going to go ahead and do this and I ask Jesus to forgive me. Man, that is so messed up. That is so messed up. We're losing that reverence for who God is. I'll say it like this. We're losing the fear of the Lord, man. And we can't do that. We have to have that respect for the Lord. Anyways, let me move forward. When God says he loves me, I can take it to the bank. 1 John 4 and verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest. I love how John the apostle says this. Like, look, you want to see. You want to be able to have a situation where you can have this tangible thing of God's love. Look at this. Look at this, man. Let it fill your heart with joy. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. He's talking about eternal life right there. You know, he's saying, don't think you're not loved. God loves you so much that he sent his son, not just to be born in a manger, not just to teach us how to live, but to die on that cross and to pay for my sins, where he was able to say, it is finished. Where he was able to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God looked away. Jesus Christ felt the absence of God the Father for that moment when all the sins of the world was placed on him so that we will never, ever, ever, ever have to be alone. Think about that. That's a wonderful thing. We are loved. Look at your neighbor and say, you're loved. Do it like this. Put your hands up. Say, you're loved. Like you're holding a pizza. I don't. How about this one when God says, don't fear? There you go. Psalm 118, verse 6. Now, this right here can give you a little peace if you really grab a hold of it. Psalm 118 and verse 6, the Lord is on my side. Isn't that wonderful? He's not saying, I approve of everything you do. He's saying, I'm on your side. I'm on your side. You belong to me. You are my much loved daughter. You are my much loved son. I am on your side. I'm going to do what's best for you. How about them apples? The Lord is on my side. So what's that mean to me? It means I will not fear. I won't fear because I belong to God. God is on my side. He's going to do what's best for me. If he allows something to come down the road, it's going to be for a reason. It's going to be for his glory and my growth. I will not fear. Check this part out. What can man do to me? Let me read this verse again. How stinking cool is this verse? Just a few more minutes. Listen to this. Psalm 118, verse 6. This is awesome. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can this world throw at you when you belong to the good Lord? When God's on your side, well, your government's going to take all, they're going to take all our belongings and blah, blah, blah. Well, they ain't getting all mine because all my stuff's up in heaven, man. You know what I mean? Take what you want, baby. All my goodies are up in heaven, man, where no moth can get to them, where they ain't going to rust. That's pretty cool, huh? You know what? They're going to start rounding up folks and killing them. Okay, yeah, that stinks. Look at your neighbor and say, that stinks. I'm not saying that's going to happen, by the way. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if God is for me, who can be against me? Because for me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's a good thing. That's a really, really good thing. Because if you're here 105 years, 110 years, 40 years, 29 years, no matter how long you're here, this is just temporary, man. We're just passing through here. And we're going to spend eternity somewhere. And because we've accepted that precious gift, what Jesus Christ did for us, it ain't nothing but good when we leave this place. That's wonderful news. When he tells me to give, believe him. When he tells me to give, believe him. That'll bless me in return. When he tells me to forgive, believe him and do it. When he tells me that I'm going to reap what I sow, if I sow good, good will come back on me. If I sow evil, evil's going to come back on me. I'm saying we take God's word and we trust it, we believe it, and we apply it to our life. We do what God tells us to do. Amen. Luke 1:36. I think we're on slide 3 now. Yeah, we're on slide 3, I think. Luke 1:36. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, the angel says, look, God's handpicked you for this amazing job. You got God's favor. I ain't saying it's going to be easy, but this is an amazing thing you've been asked to do. Mary says, how's this going to be? I'm a virgin. She asks this question. Angel says, well, the Holy Spirit's going to do this. God's going to do his part. Your part is to trust and obey. And then the angel does something really, really cool at this point. The angel points to the truth. The angel says, look, let me tell you about your relative Elizabeth. You remember Elizabeth from the family reunions? You remember Elizabeth from last Hanukkah or whatever? I don't know. Says, you remember your relative Elizabeth, right? The angel's pointing to the truth, like what we just did when I said trust in God's word. And we went through some scriptures to kind of just strengthen us in some areas. You know, this is what the angel's doing. The angel's saying, here, let me tell you something, Mary. Let me help you. Let's do a little faith growing exercise. Let me tell you this amazing thing that God has done in your relative's life. Why is that so important? Because Mary knows this person. Mary knows that they probably been praying for a baby and they probably gave up years ago because it's an elderly couple. And then the angel says, look, check this out. Elizabeth, your relative, who was said to be barren and in the natural, no doctor could do nothing. She was going, doing all the tests and doing all the, and nothing was working out. In the natural, it was hopeless. But with God, check this out. She's in her sixth month of being pregnant. See, when the world says this is a hopeless situation, thank God we're not bound by what the world says. Because God springs forth life in a wasteland. You know, God gives us that river in the wilderness. When the world says this is barren, God says, okay, I'm going to blow your mind and I'm going to do something amazing. But I need you to believe me and trust in me and you'll see the glory of the Lord. Can I get a witness? And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Angel's saying, look at this amazing thing God has done in this person's life. And you know, that is super, super awesome because that's really what we need to do. Bless that baby. Rose, we love you. She's named after that lady in the Titanic. That lady named Rose. Huh. We precious baby. Okay. So what we need to do, man, angel says, look what God is doing with your relative. It's super important, man, because God invites us to do the same thing, to look at other people's lives and see where God has done amazing things in their life. And you say, well, that is just beyond stupid. No, it's not. No, it's not, man. If you want to strengthen yourself in the word of God and grab a hold of his promises, look what has happened in other people's lives when they refused to give up on their marriage and they said, I'm going to do it God's way, and how God done amazing things. Or when somebody said, you know what? My finances have been just a mess my whole stinking adult life, and I'm going to do it God's way. And you see how none of these things are overnight. But when we grab all of God's principles and apply them to our life, okay, amazing things are going to happen. You know, you say, well, this person said, you know what? I'm going to do what God says with my money. I'm not going to spend what I ain't got. You know what I'm talking about. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to sow into the kingdom. When that seems so counterintuitive, but when we do it God's way, we can't help but get that blessing from the Lord. Matter of fact, when we're talking about giving to the Lord, as far as I know, that is the one place in the Bible where God says, put me to the test. He says, go ahead and try me out with this. Every other place it says, don't put me to the test. You don't want to put the Lord your God to the test. But when he's talking about your finances, you know, because we look at it like, well, I only got this much. I says, you know what? Just step out on faith. Believe me on my word. Step out. Trust in me. Put me to the test. And I promise you won't be disappointed. That's God. Amen. So the angel says, look at this. And I encourage us, look at other people that have trusted in the Lord in the area and see how God has been there. You'll see it wasn't easy, but you see how God was faithful. You know? Look at your own life. Look at your own life where God has been faithful when you said, I'm going to lay this aside and do what God says. You know, I'm going to do what God says. Look in your own past and see where God is faithful. So I've never done that before. Then look at other people's lives. I don't know. No Christian folks, man. Okay. You grab the good book. You grab scripture and you see where God was faithful to all these other people in the word of God. You know, what I'm saying is you can trust God above all else. You can trust God and you can see each and every story they told you in Sunday school. You can see where God was faithful to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and Noah, on and on and on. None of those people were perfect, you know? But God was faithful to them. That's a big deal. You know what? Abraham told some fibs. Abraham got a little nervous sometimes, and he would lie. Jacob was a manipulator. You know, he was always manipulating cats. Moses murdered somebody. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Paul the apostle killed Christians. Jonah, God told Jonah, hey, I want you to go preach to them Ninevites. I want you to go have a revival over there in Nineveh. And Jonah was like, yeah, no, thank you. I don't like those cats. I don't like those guys. I'm not doing that, God. Matter of fact, I'm going to get in this boat and I'm going to go as far away as I can from you, which is kind of silly. You know what I mean? But that's kind of how it is when we get rebellious. When we get back up in the old sin world, we do these stupid, stupid things. And then we look back, like, my goodness gracious, how did I? This sin is intoxicating and sin makes you do stupid, stupid things. You know, we end up getting in big. Anywho, Jonah goes the other way. But you know, when he was swallowed up by that big old fish, God was still faithful to him. God was still, sometimes we got to get in the belly of a big old fish at the bottom of the ocean to realize, you know what? What I'm doing just ain't been working out. I need to just go all in with this Jesus thing. I need just to believe God at his word and do what his word says. Luke 1:36. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, that is in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. This is it right here. For nothing will be impossible with God. See, your whole world changes in so many ways when you accept Jesus Christ. Not just salvation. Like I said, man, you can't beat that. You can't beat that. But then my Heavenly Father says, you know what? Things are going to be a little different around here. Might take you a little while to catch up with the program, but the more you trust in me, the more I'm going to be able to bless you. The more you obey me, the more I'm going to be able to use you and bless you. For nothing will be impossible with God. Luke 18 and verse 27, Jesus Christ himself, he said this in his ministry when he was talking to the rich young ruler. And he says to these folks, you know, it's hard. It's hard. It's difficult for a dude that is super wealthy to come into the kingdom. And the guys begin to say, well, if these guys that got everything, if they got it all together and they got the fancy sports car and they got the fanny pack full of $1 bills rolled up and some Capri Suns in the back of the car, if they got it all together, who can be saved? And this is what Jesus says. But he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. So now that we belong to him, our whole world has changed, you know? And he says, look, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. Not saying it's going to be easy, not saying it's going to be cookies and cakes and balloons, you know? But he wants to bless us. He wants to use us. And he says, now take me at my word and step out in my word, man. But he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. So here's our marching orders, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Trust in his word with your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. You can't really do both. You're going to be like that. You're going to be tossed around like a wave on the ocean. You know, trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't let yourself deceive you. Trust in God's word. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Or in all your ways, let God be the boss. You see what's going on here? Trust in God, like we've been talking about. Don't deceive yourself or let anybody lead you astray. Trust in the Lord and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Acknowledge him. Let him be the boss. Do what he says, and he will make straight your paths. He'll get you to that place where he wants you to be, and he only wants what's best for you. Father God, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you so much for sending your